You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north to Naria, down south to Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, Reddit, send us a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Check us out at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news. Both in English and in Hebrew, we deliver it to you in both languages. And of course, make sure you subscribe to Moshe's What's Up group in Hebrew if you want all the latest in Israeli basketball. By the second, he updates that. It's a Hebrew What's Up group. Check us all out. Check out the interviews. We had Vincent Poirier this week, of course, from Real Madrid. Lots of great stuff. Lots of great articles. We're going to be talking basketball. We're going to be talking Maccabi. We're going to be talking soccer. We're going to be talking Maccabi. We're going to be talking all kinds of stuff, lots of action. We're going to be up and down and all around, and we're going to do that with Roy Jankelovich of Israel Sport. How are you doing today, Roy? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you, Josh?
All right. Doing well here in Jerusalem on a Friday afternoon, getting ready for Shabbat. Of course, the fighting resumed in Gaza Strip and up north with our friends Hezbollah. I don't think any of us are surprised about that. We saw a number of hostages released over the last week, which was good news. Children, older women, primarily released, so that we're thankful for. But of course, we all send our prayers to the other hostages, and of course, the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, that they may do what they have to do, Roy. That's first and foremost.
Exactly.
Yeah, without a question. Of course, we're going to start with Yom Adar. Now, we're not going to start with Maccabi here today. We're going to start with Yom Adar. And why are we going to start with Yom Adar, Roy? Why would we talk about Yom Adar and Israeli playing abroad for Fenerbahce? What would be the reason?
Game-winning shot against a small team which didn't lose one game in the EuroLeague till last night.
Yeah, a team Real Madrid. You've heard of them. Pretty good team, right?
Yeah.
That was a wild game. Now, let's set the stage here. Game is in Istanbul. Fenerbahce, Real Madrid. Real Madrid goes in, of course, with a perfect 9-0 record after defeating Maccabi Tel Aviv earlier in the week handling. We'll get to that. And they go out to a 29-16 lead. And it looks like Real Madrid is cooking. Facundo Campazzo, he was just spectacular with 33 points. There was no stopping Real Madrid early. Fenerbahce starts clawing back. It's 44-37 at halftime. And then, third quarter is, it's okay. Real Madrid still in the driver's seat, 67-59. But then we get to the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter, we get to see Scotty Wilbon, of course, former Maccabi Tel Aviv player, hit a three-point shot to tie it up at 87-all, sends the game into overtime. There's an inbounds pass by Real Madrid as time is expiring. It is picked off. It is stolen by Fenerbahce. And, of course, Marko Guduric gets the ball off the steal, sends it to a cutting Yom Adar through the paint, and Yom Adar puts up a prayer of a shot off of the backboard as he's racing to the rim like he's on a layup. And it goes high up, and then it goes low down, right through the hoop. And the place goes absolutely wild. It was really, I think we all had goosebumps watching this many and many times over, Roy. It was an incredible, incredible play. Pandemonium, ecstasy, the Istanbul fans feting the Israeli as an absolute conquering hero. It was incredible to see, Roy.
Yeah, and it shows how Yam has grown as a player. He also had a career high, if I'm not mistaken, of 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
So Yam is doing the right thing.
3-for-4 from three. He was 3-for-6 from two, 3-for-4 from three, 2-for-2 for the line, 1 rebound, a couple of assists, 2 steals, no turnovers. finished with a 16 PIR. Gutierrez finished with a 29 PIR. But listen, Yam Madar, I mean, it was incredible. And if you have to watch the Turkish broadcast, right? I mean, the EuroLeague broadcast is okay, but the Turkish broadcast is just unbelievable. And Yam Madar going on and on and on again. And you see the celebration, and you see all the Israeli basketball players from around the world are, you know, sending their, you know, congrats. It was a terrific moment. I mean, it was really, really a terrific moment. And you see what type of player Yam Madar is. He is just an incredible specimen of a player, Rowan.
Oh, yeah. And we know that from a young age. Mm-hmm. So well done to Yam Madar.
You know, he is wiry. He is slick. He is fast. I mean, he was able to get into, you know, he was able to get through the paint. I mean, it was just acrobatic play, and you know, not many players are going to make that play. Yam Madar has the skills. Roey, Yam Madar, is he going to play in the NBA one day?
I'm sure, but the question is when. He's now in a good league. The EuroLeague, with all due respect, is also a very, very good league. But if not next season, in 2 seasons, maximum 3 seasons. That's what I give him in the EuroLeague, and from the EuroLeague to the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he's just getting better and better and better. And, you know, he went from, obviously, Jelko Obradovic to Dimitris Itoudis, who, you know, who was the student of Obradovic for so many years. Listen, the situation for him is a great situation. And obviously, there was a reason why he left Partizan Belgrade.
Yeah, and better team. Fenerbahce are a better team than Partizan, that's for sure. They're a contender, at least for the playoffs.
They're a better team. I mean, let's just call it. I mean, they're a better team. They have better players. I mean, you're sitting on a bench there with Nick Calathes, Scotty Wilbekin, who played against Yam Madar so many times, right? I mean, when they were between Maccabi and Hapoel Tel Aviv. You have, you know, veterans like Marco Gudurić, Tyler Dorsey may be on the way out, but Nick Calathes, again, amazing. Nigel Hayes-Davis, excellent. Georgios Papadiannis, Sirtak Sanli, Jonathan Motley, Daishon Pierre. It's a good team. It's a very good team. Very good team. Great fans. Not to say Partizan didn't have good fans, right? I mean, you're talking about fans there. You know, they're probably number one.
But the basketball level, that's the issue.
I mean, it's a huge... I mean, if you want to make another step, it was, at the end of the day, Yam Madar did the right thing here. He did the right thing. There's no question. Roey, let's shift gears to Maccabi Tel Aviv. They played 2 games this past week. They had to make a game against Real Madrid where they lose 99-70. And then they wallop Alba Berlin 102-81. Josh Nebo ill, did not play in that game. John DiBartolomeo out for both games, still with a groin injury. I still believe, again, I don't know anything for sure, but I think he suffered this injury over a month ago when they were playing Panathinaikos, when he had that big game where between there and the next game, because he was not the same player after that game. He didn't have the same movement and whatever it may be. Bottom line, Maccabi Tel Aviv was not prepared for that Real Madrid game. They were an absolute disaster. They were terrible. They were awful. They were just bad. I mean, there was nothing else to say about them. Wade Baldwin was a disaster zone in that game. 7 points, -8 PIR. It's hard to get a -8 PIR. You have to really try to do that. Josh Nebo was excellent, 14 points. Lorenzo Brown was okay because there was nobody else to really, you know, pick up the scoring slack. It was not a good game, and Real Madrid just toasted them. They were just, you know, far superior team. The big man, Walter Tavares, Vincent Poirier did them in inside. John Musa shooting from the outside. Mario Hezonja was terrific shots from the outside as well. Against Alba Berlin, you know, went from the first place team to the last place team. Maccabi Tel Aviv knew this was going to be a win. They could say that they weren't going to, they were, you know, they had to make sure they were this and they had to make sure they were that. They knew they were going to win this game. I mean,
saw it from tip off that this game was in Maccabi's control. Maccabi could do whatever they wanted, even though Alba came back to 9-point difference, I think it was. Maccabi all the time controlled it.
Yeah, 29-14 after the first quarter, 58-42 at halftime, 81-66, and then 102-81. Listen, Wade Baldwin, from as bad as he was at Real Madrid, and we saw the Wade Baldwin, you know, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Wade Baldwin, 18 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 25 PIR. Totally different player. Hats off to Rafi Menko. 22 minutes, 13 points, 3 for 3 from deep, 5 rebounds. He was absolutely terrific. James Webb, a dozen points. Bonzi Colson also had not played well the last few games. He comes back with 17 points. He was hitting his threes, 3 for 4. They went 15 for 25 from deep with 60% shooting. Jake Cohn with 9 points. Roman Sorokin with 10 points. You know, it was they Alba Berlin were never close. Gabriel Presido was a nice player to watch. 22 points for him, but this is a bad team. You got to wonder what they're doing in the EuroLeague. You have to question why they are there. Alba Berlin. Tamir Blatt also 3 for 5.
Oh, Rafi Menko.
Right, yeah, career EuroLeague high. And, you know, Rafi Menko is the guy that suffers the most out of not having the Israeli league because he's not playing. I mean, like...
Exactly. He would play every week in and week out in the league.
And, he, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's really tough. And he needs to play. And you know what? He came off the bench and he did what he had to do. We can't always say that the Maccabi players do that. And yep. That was good. Omer Meyer becomes the youngest ever Maccabi Tel Aviv player to score in a EuroLeague game. He played 6 minutes. He had 3 points at a three-pointer. That was nice. A good game. Great stuff. Next week, they have another double week. They play in Villebrun in Lyon against, Villebrun, Asvel Villebrun and Noam Yaakov. And then on Friday, they play in Bologna. Both of those games, Roy, should be winnable games.
Yeah, they should be. These are teams which are at Maccabi level or even weaker than Maccabi.
No, I mean, it's a Villebrun's second to last place team, the 2-8.
Yeah, worse than Maccabi.
Yeah, I mean, you can't lose to that team. Now, right now, Maccabi's in 8th place, 6-5. They have the same record as Fenerbahce in 7th at 6-5. Same record as Olympiakos in 6th at 6-5. The same record as Panathinaikos in 5th at 6-5. So they're fine. You know, they are fine right now. Two teams that could join them, Baskonia, Valencia, they're both at 5-5, as well as Anadolu Efes at 5-5. So there's going to be some movement around that spot. And you know what? I got to tell you, did Maccabi not bother playing that Real Madrid game on purpose and just said, you know what? Let's just save our energy for that Alba Berlin game. We'll take the L. We'll see how it goes, but we'll take the L. Who knows?
It reminds me a little of the soccer of Maccabi Haifa yesterday against Rennes. We're going to get to that.
Right, we'll get to that soon.
Attitude of, it's no big deal if we're going to lose. They're a better team than us. And we have another game, which is more important.
They have two hugely important games coming up. Because Bologna, also, you know, not a great team. Bologna, again, they're a team that they should beat. There shouldn't be any reason why they won't beat them. And you have a team in Villebrun. These should be two. Now, Bologna is not bad. They're 7-4, okay? But they did not play well yesterday. But Bologna is a beatable team. Bologna is a beatable team. Real Madrid is kind of like an unbeatable team. Even Barcelona is a beatable team. Bologna is a very beatable team, and Villebrun it should be a win. So you're hoping that Maccabi is going to finish next week at 8-5. You finish at 8-5, you're in really good shape. If you finish at 7-6, still not the end of the world. As long as you're above 500, you're doing okay, Roy.
Exactly, totally agree. They need to be above 500 and hovering around the play-in playoff spots where they are now.
Yeah, without a question. Let's shift gears. Of course, we're on with Roy Jankelovic, Israel Sport. Let's head over to Hapoel Tel Aviv. They beat the Besiktas 81-75. They also played in Partizan. Hapoel Tel Aviv came back. They wanted to win yet another game and keep their record moving the right direction at 6-2 now. Besiktas is a good team. It was 41-41 after the second quarter, 63-63 after the third. But ultimately, Hapoel Tel Aviv is just a very good team. And you have players like Jacobin Brown turned in on at the end, 19.7 7 assists, 15 points for Jalen Horde, 10 points for Kyle Alexander, who's been terrific. And there are teams in the early trying to buy him from Hapoel Tel Aviv. They are not letting him go. Brian Angola with 11 points. Edan Solomonson with 6. Munford with 8. John Holland, only 3 points in 11 minutes, has not been terrific so far for them. Besiktas, 16 points from Derek Needham, and 15 points, Jonah Matthews. Hapoel Tel Aviv, just a better team. Again, it's tough to play in front of no fans, but good job for Hapoel Tel Aviv. And they are, you know, again, they are in good shape. I mean, you look at them in the standings right now. They've played one game less. You have Paris at 8-1, London at 7-2, and then Hapoel Tel Aviv at 6-2. So they're in good shape, Roy.
Yeah, they're in good shape. But once again, we know the format. And the format of the Euro Cup is cruel. Once they're going to get to play away, it will be tough for them in the knockout stages. But there's a long way to go till then. Mm-hmm.
With definitely a very, very long way to go without a question, Roy. Let's move over to a poll. Jerusalem, 85-70 winners over Galatasaray, another Turkish team. And that game took place in Laktasi, Bosnia-Herzegovina. And we have to thank Galatasaray for allowing this game to be played in Bosnia due to the security situation. They really went, mehalo mehever, they went out of their way for a poll Jerusalem here. Because
Coach
of the
thank them also at the end of the game.
Yeah, you heard Alexander Jikic thank them up and down. I mean, he was very, very thankful. It was, and they really should be. I mean, listen, Galatasaray put themselves out and they lost the game. Now, they also understand Zvezda Mitrovic, who's friends with Alexander Jikic, they understand that Jerusalem is a better team. 17 points, Carrington, 17 points, Levi Randall, 13 points apiece, Morrison, Dewar, Brinton, Lamar. Those are, you know, good numbers. This team has barely played together. They haven't played in 2 weeks. Half of the team, you know, the Israelis came back to Israel for a number of days. They have a game coming up against Ramat Gan on Tuesday night in Ramat Gan.
League game.
Yeah, first league game, and there's uncertainty as to who's going to come from the foreigners. There was an article today, and I really don't remember who wrote this, so I apologize. One article said that Chris Johnson and Speedy Smith would not return to Israel. Again, that, I don't remember which article that I read that in. It may have been Sport 5, and I'm not 100% sure. But it's still unclear as to which foreign players are going to come and play in this game. Let's see if the game's going to even take place. We'll have to see what happens over the next few days with the fighting resuming in the Gaza Strip and up north and with the Houthis. So we'll see that. Bottom line is, Hapoel Jerusalem in very good shape. You look at their status right now. They only lost to PAOK by a couple points. And in their group play, in Group G, they're in second place, 3-1, the same record as PAOK. They still have to play PAOK another time. That's probably going to be for the top of their group. And they want to finish in the top of the group, because if you can finish it first, then you avoid the play-in playoff. And you don't have to play another little mini playoff, and you automatically advance to the next round. And Roy, there's no question that's what Hapoel Jerusalem wants to do.
Oh, yes. They want to learn from last season. They want to go the one step further, mm-hmm. which is winning it. That's right. Simple as that.
Now, another team that's winning is Hapoel Cholon. Hapoel Cholon, they sit at the top of their group, which is amazing if you think about it, Group F. They are 3-1 in group play, in a group that includes Bonn, Rio Breogan, and Bursaspor. So that's a very tough group. We all looked at this group before the season started and said, wow, Hapoel Cholon is going to have a brutal time. They're going to have a really, really tough time. And what do they do, Roy? They just keep winning. 93-74 winners over Bursaspor. And again, the Turkish team, that game took place in Bosnia-Herzegovina. They have to be thanked. I mean, they went there and they lost. They did Israel, an Israeli team, a favor, and they lost. And Hapoel Cholon, it was tight for three quarters, and then Hapoel Cholon just pulled away in the final frame. They won the fourth quarter 29-12, which is tremendous. And you look at the scores in this game, 25 points for C.J. Harris, 5-for-6 from three, 17 points Justin Smith, who's been terrific, Amin Nuat with 10 points, who is on his way out. The talk is that he's signing with the Thorna, one of the Italian teams that's also playing in the Champions League, I believe. They just signed a new player as well. Hapoel Holon did. And they have their first home game in the Israeli League on Saturday night. The whole team had been in Israel for a few days, except I believe Amin Nouah was not here. They did sign Hans van Wijen, a Belgian player who I've seen play before for Antwerp. Good player, not at the level of Amin Nouah, that's for sure. But a good player, a nice fit. And, you know, again, will that game on Saturday night take place in Holon? That's also a big question right now that we don't know the answer to, really.
We will know more tonight. That's my feeling.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that when people sit down for their Shabbat dinners on Friday night, Hamas is going to decide to, launch a salvo towards the center of the country. You would think. I don't think that they're, not going to stay quiet in that area for too long. And of course, we had a terrorist attack here in Jerusalem on Thursday. So, if anybody that reads CNN and sees that Israel, broke the ceasefire, that's just not true. The ceasefire had been broken numerous times already, and they also started firing their missiles first this morning. So let's just
put that before 6 a.m.
Way before 7 o'clock in the morning when the ceasefire was supposed to fire. So we all know who the bad guys are here. Apparently, some people don't know who the bad guys are, but those are the people. They don't want to know because they have a certain prejudice against Jews and against Israel. So you're looking at a great situation for Hapoel Holon. From what I understand, the foreigners are all supposed to be here for Hapoel Holon, so we'll see what happens over there. Of course, we're here with Roy Jankelevich, sports rabbi Josh Halachman, wrapping up the basketball and soccer. Let's move over to the soccer situation, Roy. Maccabi Tel Aviv, 2-1 winners over Breiðablik in Iceland. They end up playing at an earlier time at a different stadium than they were supposed to. They played on a carpet, on artificial turf. They played in a stadium with fans that were standing outside of the gates behind the goals with huge PLO flags. Obviously, Hamas supporters, there were a few Israeli flags floating around as well. But it was not a pleasant situation at this game. It was not fun for the Maccabi Tel Aviv players. Dan Biton scores first, and then he went to grab an Israeli flag, hoisted it up, and was given a yellow card for his for doing that. And we should note, Roy, that 11 players for any Ukrainian team that comes out for a UEFA competition are draped in what type of flag?
Ukrainian flag.
Ukrainian flag. Do 11 players at the start of a game get a yellow card?
No, they don't.
Okay. Well, no, they don't. Okay. So, again, a little bit of prejudice there from the referee.
Bosnian referee. Not that Bosnia is bad because we spoke before the basketball. Person.
Yeah. I have nothing. And it was a Bosnian referee, but whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. Breiðablik scores to tie it up 1-1, and then Aaron Zahavi with one of those magnificent goals. I mean, he just looped that right in from 20 meters out over the goalie. Beautiful goal. He had some choice words for the pro Hamas supporters that were there after the game. The head coach of Breiðablik went wild. Was not happy with the way Maccabi Tel Aviv behaved. There were some also things on the pitch where Breiðablik kicked some player. It got ugly at the end, Roy. It was unnecessary. It got ugly. And listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to have to be warned. They still have a game coming up in Europe. And then they've already qualified for the preliminary knockout round. Should they win their final game, really?
They finish first and qualify.
They finish first. They finish first and they qualify for the knockout round. So we won't have to play in the preliminary knockout round, which would be, obviously good. And the payday is also a little bit better as well.
Exactly. So,
and Mitch Goldhar, the owner, was at the game. Now, that game against Ghent is a home game. So it's probably going to be played, we think back where they had played their last game in Serbia. So that's going to be good. That plays to Maccabi Tel Aviv's favor. And let's see if they can do the job in a couple of weeks, really. But all in all, from what I understand, everybody arrived back in Israel today. Is that accurate? Robbie Keane?
Everyone, including Robbie Keane. Everybody was mostly concerned about Robbie Keane.
But from what I understand, everybody returned home, right? They all came back to Israel.
Yeah, because Sunday they play Apoel Jerusalem. So the league is waiting.
Yeah, no, there's no question. There's lots of action. Listen, this is great stuff here. I mean, this is exciting. Great news for Maccabi Tel Aviv. The league comes back. We'll go through those games shortly. Now, in the Europa League, listen, Lo Kochot would be the word of the day, right? Maccabi Haifa, 3-0 loser in Rennes. And again, they were just never there.
We have to note that Maccabi Haifa started a team of players who are not exactly starters. For one example, Rami Gershon. Rami Gershon right. is...
Rami Gershon... Where is he?
As the translator, one second, as the translator for the match. He was used also in the post-game, pre-game press conference as the translator to French. So, Rami Gershon's had a busy week.
Yeah, that you know, Podograno started, Piero started, Dean David, Tyrone Cherry, Kufamano, Jabber, Gershon, Sek, Simic, and Kandil. You know, so he started a really makeshift lineup. Didn't look like they were trying to win that game at all. They're still saying they still have a chance to qualify for the conference league. But let's be honest, maybe Villarreal that they're not going to qualify. That's fine. I don't, you know, I have no issues. They didn't want to play that game. Let's be honest.
The moment Maccabi Haifa reached the Europa League, the downfall was so high. That's what I feel. Nothing to do with the war. The moment they're not in the Champions League, it's like they lost all their motivation.
Yeah. We have to talk about the whole sign escapade from earlier in the week. The Maccabi Haifa players, before their league game last Saturday night, held up a sign, bring them home now for the hostage being held. All the foreign players kind of stepped back, didn't want to hold the sign. It became really ugly. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was ugly. I think the worst part about the whole situation was how it was handled by the press officer. He couldn't have handled it any worse, the whole situation. He just couldn't have handled it any worse, really. I mean, from top to bottom, Maccabi Haifa, they kept putting their hoof in their mouth time and time and time and time again. They released one statement, the players didn't know. They released another statement, the players didn't want to get involved, they were afraid. They released another statement, the player's this, the player's that. This one didn't know that. They didn't understand what was written on the sign. I mean, new Bemet, like really, you know, like then finally the CEO wrote a letter and said, we made a mistake. And that kind of put an end to the story, but it was just ridiculous. And last night before the game, they held up some signs of a shirt with one of the fan that was killed. There were the captain, Tyrone Cherry was there. Was this a big deal? Or this was just totally way out of proportion.
A bit of both, but it was blown out of proportion also. But they were at fault, and what they did yesterday was kind of damage control. That's what they're trying to do.
Oh yes, without a question. Without a question, that was absolute damage control. But fine. It's fine. There's no, you know, they just managed the whole thing. Maccabi Haifa needed to manage that whole situation better.
Exactly. First of all, I don't think they really told the players anything about the sign.
Didn't understand it. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, like, okay, people are going to say, well, they should have understood it. It's in English. Yeah, I get that. But,
you have to explain. Can you imagine that Maccabi Tel Aviv soccer or basketball would not explain to players something they're going to do before the match? Never. Yeah.
You know, I liked what Maccabi Tel Aviv did before their game, their first game of the week. We actually forgot about that. But their first Conference League game of the week that they had earlier, they had the big sign, remember October 7th. I thought that was fine.
Oh, yeah. The game which was against Zoria. Yep.
Yeah, true. That was a dominating performance that Maccabi Tel Aviv had there. Let's go to the Israeli Soccer League, Roey. Shall we just say what's coming up here? We have Saturday. Hapoel Tel Aviv, Hapoel Haifa, Hapoel Hadera, Maccabi Petach Tikva, Bnei Sachnin, Maccabi Netanya, Maccabi Bnei Reina, Ashdod, Hapoel Petach Tikva, Beitar Jerusalem. So there is a full slate of games, five games. No fans will be allowed in the stadiums. So that is just the games they should. I mean, I assume they're going to go on, but who knows? You know, depends how what starts with Hezbollah. If they start trying to target Haifa, or you know, the Galil, if you know, Sakhnin, you know, we have to remember that even though Sakhnin is an Arab town, Hezbollah and Hamas, they really don't care.
Yep, true.
They don't get the same thing with Bnei Reina, like they don't care. Like, we have to make that clear that they really don't care where they're firing. So that's that. Sunday night, Hapoel Jerusalem, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and Maccabi Haifa, Hapoel Be'er Sheva, and obviously a pretty big game. I don't think it's the end of the world playing these games without fans. I know a lot of people are upset about it, this and that. We did this in COVID, so kind of people are used to it. It's not ideal. I understand people are going to complain about it. I know people aren't happy about it. But listen, Roey, right now this is the best that they can do in trying circumstances. There's TV contracts. We understand that. There are also soldiers sitting around at bases that, you know what, they actually would be very happy to watch 2 hours of Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa, Hapoel Tel Aviv. Am I right, Roey? I mean, they'd be Jerusalem. They're happy to watch those, aren't they?
Exactly. Most important is that the games are back. The fans is an issue which in the near future they'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be long, but it's going to take some time. Basketball, you are allowed to have fans in most areas, but the numbers are limited. So, for example, today the Sports Rabbi and the Suns were at a Leumit second division game in a bubble that's being played here in Jerusalem because the home team Ashkelon can't play in Ashkelon right now. Against Male Adumim, and they only, even though the arena seats 2,000, they were only allowing in a couple of hundred people maximum because they have to be able to fit into the secure areas should there be a siren that goes off, a missile warning that goes off during the game itself. So you're going to see, all the arenas having people allowed. Like Holon has a game again Saturday night. I don't know how many people they're allowed. They're allowed up to 1,000, but that doesn't mean there's going to be 1,000 people allowed in the building. It may be only 700 people. It may only be 500 people. I don't know what the numbers are. And that's going to be the case with every arena or every facility. So we're going to have to see. It is what it is. I think next week, Roey, we should, you know, maybe talk about more a little bit about the Israeli League coming back in general. There were other games this week that did take place in the basketball league, but even just the whole idea of those games returning, and it's a much more complex subject than we have in the soccer, really, because in the soccer first of all, the foreigners are not top foreigners in most cases, so they're going to come here and play anyways because they want a contract. Second of all, they don't totally need to rely on foreigners. You could put it a team of Israelis. There's enough Israelis. Yep. Whereas the first division basketball league is an issue. I mean, there's a problem because they are relying primarily, half the team are foreigners. So I'll quickly go through the games that took place this week. I will here. Hapoel Haifa, Nes Ciona wins 111-82. Hapoel Haifa fielded a very young team. They did not have enough players. They're only signing foreign players now. So they lost. They tried to have that game postponed. The league and the Israel Basketball Association did not allow it. I really don't understand why they didn't allow them to push that game off when it seems everybody else has been pushing games off. Tomer Levinson, career game, 18 points, 15 rebounds. Souf Ben Moshe, 15 points, 17 points. Raleigh Alkins, and for Hapoel Haifa, 35 points from Mike McGurl. Bnei Herzliya, Ramat Gan winners 80-70. Ramat Gan was excellent, I got to say. They've done a very nice job with their team. Jordan Cohn, naturalized Israeli, 14 points. 13 points, Alex Hamilton. 12 points, JP Takato. 10 points, Benyaya Sroor. Over at Herzliya, 19 points for Robert Carter. 13 points, Willie Workman, the new captain. Sandy Cohen with a dozen. And finally, Hapoel Be'er Sheva and Hapoel Afula, 90-81 winners. Afula was, I think in all three cases, the visiting team won the game. But there were not a lot of fans in any of these games, I should note. Very few fans. I think probably the most was in Bnei Herzliya, and that wasn't that many. Noam Avivi, a career game, 29 points, 8 rebounds. For Afula, 15 points. Lucas Goldenberg, friend of the show, Spencer White, 16 points. And then over at Beersheva, you had 15 points from Igor Kulishov, 13 points for Ira Lee. That moved up a division as well. So again, you have a lot of players, Israelis, that may have moved up divisions. You have foreigners. They're not top-notch foreigners. Normally, Roy, you would see top-notch foreigners playing in the Israeli Basketball League, and we're just not going to have that. It's going to be a tough go. And, you know, I understand they want to play the games, but it's a weird situation. Whereas the Leumit League, there's no foreign players. So it's kind of more of a, I want to say, pure game in that aspect. Very quick thoughts and 30 seconds on that.
It's a more even league.
Yeah, even. That's a good way to say it. Roy, where can people find you?
Israel Sport, www.isport.co.al, on Twitter at Roy J, R-O-I-J-A-Y, and on Facebook and Instagram, Roy Jankelowitz, R-O-Y-J-A-N-K-E-L-O-W-I-T-Z.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Check us out all over the place. Roy Jankelowitz, wishing you and yours a Shabbat Shalom and a quiet Shabbat here from the land of Israel.